Welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, Sunday, November 21st. It's good to see you. I wish I could see your faces a little more clearly, but these are the things we deal with these days to protect each other. I greet you with this verse from 2 Corinthians. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. Let us worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we gather together this morning. Our guest speaker this morning is David Brubaker, and David has served churches, a number of churches, as pastor over the years. He has also been on staff with the Mennonite Church Eastern Canada at one time. Dave is also a carpenter, and he continues to do some carpentry work when he has time, because his ministry interests vary and are quite involved. He is on the board of the Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana. He is the board vice chair of Mennonite Disaster Service Canada. I suspect things will be ramping up very quickly in the West. Dave is also chair of Grace Mennonite Church, the church council, our sister congregation here in town. And he is also chair of the Bridges of Hope, which is the role that he is representing this morning. Bridges of Hope is a diverse community of people of varying faiths and life experiences seeking to be a blessing in the community. To date, the work has largely consisted of welcoming Syrian refugees to Canada, and there is also interest in relations with Indigenous peoples, cultivating a bond of peace in a world that is becoming increasingly polarized. David will be sharing the message later, Blessed by the Other, based on Genesis 12 and Ephesians 2. A few announcements. Certainly we have been hearing about the flooding in the Fraser Valley of British Columbia and beyond. And having attended school in Abbotsford for a number of years, the names and the communities mentioned in the news are quite familiar. And so I hold people there, as well as congregations of Mennonite Church Canada, in my prayers for those in the valley. Mennonite Disaster Service, I got the announcement already that they are preparing to respond to the important work of cleanup. In the bulletin, there is also a note from our former pastor Nick and Megan in which he says they have postponed moving into their house located in Yarrow, if you've heard that name in the news. It's in the valley between Sumas and Chilliwack, and as I was looking at the map to refresh my memory, yes, low-lying land, fairly flat in that area except for the mountains on either side of the valley. He said the house was okay, but one of their containers actually got wet. So our thoughts with Nick, Megan, and family as they continue to make adjustments to their life in BC. This past week, the Seniors Fellowship viewed the documentary Volendam, a refugee story, a story that many of you in the congregation participated in as children. And if there's further interest in the video, there are internet links, hate to say it, but they didn't transfer to the print version of the bulletin, but on the email version, those links should get you to the sites for more information. If you have further interest, contact the church office. Please see the note from church council regarding the opening up of our church mailboxes at the front entrance over here, coming just in time for Christmas exchange of greetings, and you're invited to use those boxes. Also from church council, expressing appreciation for your financial support for the ministries of the church. And there is an updated budget for budget needs as we approach year-end in the bulletin. I do find myself thinking, how did it get to be the end of November already? And we begin the Christian calendar as we close off this year with Eternity Sunday today. Next Sunday begins First Advent, the new year of the church calendar. And I forgot to include in the bulletin the invitation to prepare for a service of communion next Sunday. We will be observing the COVID protocols, and so as we did in October, you will receive the elements in the foyer as you enter, and the instructions there are self-explanatory. Our worship theme for Advent is God Breaks In. And for all the interruptions and disruptions that we have experienced in the past year, we want to prepare ourselves for God's coming, prepare ourselves for the reality of God with us. As we prepare for our call to worship, yesterday I was at the grocery store and was surprised to meet Mohammed and Amina Bolau, and the refugee family from Syria that we as a church sponsored a couple of years ago. It was just great to catch up with them. They're doing well, and part of their comments of truly becoming Canadian is the responsibility of having a mortgage. So great to see a family that lived through some extremely traumatic experiences more recently than others of us, but certainly adjusting and deeply appreciative of you as a congregation for their support in making it possible to find a land of peace. The call to worship this morning is the reading from Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is a prayer of thanksgiving shared by those who have been redeemed by the Lord. In a world filled with oppression, homelessness, exile, and hunger, the Lord seeks to redeem and to rescue those who suffer. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all people, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, you who are merciful, we gather today to remember those who have gone on before us. And for many of those we remember, they have experienced firsthand the violence of war, displacement from home and community, and the pain of loss and hunger. For the living of these days, help us to be vividly aware of your presence, of your grace, and of your power to redeem and to provide. Guide our thoughts and reflections. Draw us closer to Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. Amen. Worship team will come and lead us in singing. Marion and Marianne. Alvin, thank you. Thank you. A special welcome to many of you who have come as a family, an extended family, of recognizing this important Sunday, Eternity Sunday, a day in which we share memorial in remembrance of those who have gone on before us in the past year. As a Christian faith community, we believe that Jesus died, was buried, was raised to new life, and ascended to heaven, from where one day he will return. Having experienced the death of loved ones, we grieve our loss. Yet with thankfulness for their life, love, and faith, we entrust their resurrection to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We grieve, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope for eternal life. This morning we will share names of family or friends, and we invite you to reflect on faith and life shared and the relationships among us that have changed. Let us give thanks to the Lord for the blessing of family and companions to which we journey through this life. As the names are being called, it'll be in a chronological order of their passing. And in the past, some of you may have remembered that we share a flower by inviting families to come forward. Because of our protocols these days, the flowers will be shared with you at the end of the service as you leave the sanctuary. And so the deacons may not recognize everyone who needs one, but if you come forward to where they are distributing them, just checking, is it going to be off to this side or simply at the back? Checking. At the back. There are going to be two? At the center in the back. Thank you, Helga. Yeah, so please pick that up on your way out. Also, as names of your family members are called, invite you to stand briefly just to identify with them and the sense of our remembrance and prayers for you. Apologies if some family relations are missed, and as you can see from the list in your bulletin, there are quite a few people here this morning. But as we share this time together, let us begin recognizing Mary Letkeman, who is the sister of Ermi Welk, and then also Hildegard Hanzik, who is also a sister of Ermi's, and both of her sisters passed away within a week of each other last December. Hans Neufeld, the husband of Katrina Neufeld, and family who are here this morning. Betty Penner, mother of Carol, Sandra, Jim, John, Susan, and Elizabeth. Betty's family here this morning. Martha Weens, mother of Becky and Janice. Many of us remember the years Martha shared music with the congregation. Hilda Franzen, sister-in-law to Martha Franzen. Martha was not able to be with us this morning. Charles Millage, uncle of Carolyn Copeland. And Carolyn and Tom and family are here this morning. George Siemens, husband of Helen Siemens, family. Carol Penner, daughter of Betty Penner, who was previously mentioned, and also sister of Sandra, John, Jim, Susan, and Elizabeth. Ike Giesbrecht, husband of Judy Giesbrecht, family this morning with us. Tina Wilms, sister of Mary Martal, joined us this morning. Victor Unruh, son of Henry and Mary Unruh, nephew of Helen Harder. Erna Fast, mother of Dennis and Doug Fast. Doug is here this morning, Doug and family. Victor Martens Siemens, brother of Ursula Dirksen. John is here this morning. Irene Pierce, the wife of Ken, mother of Laura and Jeremy. George Jansen, brother-in-law of Rita Hambrook. Jacob Lepp, father of Irene, Ellie, Herb, Manny, Rich, and Gisela. Some of the family are here this morning. Irma Kaitler, mother of Vic, John, Mary Lou, and Alfred. Gerald Froese, brother-in-law to Ken Epp and Jerry Epp. Lydia Berg, sister to Ermengarde Voth, who was in Paraguay, and distance sometimes is the challenge in our families. Art Wall, father of Doug and Gerald Wall. Gerald is with us this morning. And, of course, many of the congregation know Art's lay leadership with the church for many years and his leadership in music. Ken Epp, husband of Karen, father of Michael, Daniel, and Nicole. Mariana Pauls, mother of Peter and Henry. Peter and Ingrid are here this morning. Peter and Ella. Did I get that right? Thank you. William Sargent, brother-in-law to Jesse Entz. If I remember right, that's also a connection with Kay Letkeman, I think. Margaret Berg, mother of Vic, Peter, Elizabeth, and Susan. Londa Haig, sister-in-law of Jake Weeb, Helen. Agatha Giesbrecht, mother of Eric, Henry, and John, family here this morning. And Kay Workington, mother of Arlene, David, Linda, and Kathy, but also a sister to Walt Clausen. As you can tell, grief has affected many from our faith family, and we share with you a sense of that grief, but also share with you the sense of our hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the bulletins or on the screen, there is a litany of remembrance and invite you to respond. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Gracious God, God watches over us and longs for our healing and grieves with us in our pain of loss. In the quiet moments, may God himself, the God of peace, make you holy and whole. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be fit and ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, for all the joys and love of life, we give you thanks for those with whom we have shared. For all the pain and sorrows of grief, we look to you for comfort and healing. Because of Jesus Christ, in this life and the next, we have hope of the resurrection and of meeting you and our loved ones once again. as we entrust our loved ones named before you into your care, empower us by your Holy Spirit to resist the evil one, that we might serve our Lord Jesus Christ in this life with joy and peace. This morning, O God, we also share in our prayers of what is happening in the world, and we lift before you in particular the people of British Columbia, flooded, cut off, stranded, and for those who have lost loved ones, for those who've lost homes, animals, and livelihood. Keep us ever so mindful that the way we live impacts the environment, which has consequences for our lives and for the world. Guide us to be responsible, to be caring, and to support one another as we live out our days. We pray for those among us dealing with health issues, for those experiencing life transitions that imposed upon them or embraced, for those dealing with challenges of school or work or family. May your Spirit provide wisdom for the living of these days. In all these things, we seek to be a people of faith, with care and support for one another, to be followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Music, and following that, Megan will come and share the scripture reading, and then Dave invites you to come and share the message with us.
We invite you to stand to sing the next song.
Thank you. Good morning. Today I will be reading from Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 16. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace and in this one body to reconcile both of them in God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility.
Thank you, Megan. It's an honor for me to be here with you this morning, especially to join with you on this sacred occasion when you remember those loved ones in your life that have passed away in the last year. Particularly want to thank the musicians, whoever chose the music for today. I thought it was particularly well chosen, both for the remembrance of our loved ones, but also for what I want to share with you this morning. I've been invited to share with you about something that I consider to be one of the great blessings in my life. My involvement with the Bridge of Hope, or the Bridge of Hope community as we are officially known, has been an unexpected blessing. I'm grateful to this congregation, the St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, for the way in which you have partnered with the work of the Bridge of Hope. As many of you know, Bridge of Hope started as a partnership between the Grace Mennonite Church and the Islamic Society of St. Catherine's to welcome Syrian refugees to Canada. What I'll be sharing with us this morning is largely a testimony that weaves together my experience with Bridge of Hope and two scriptures that have been foundational for my journey as a Christian. Most of us, I'm sure, have had the experience of receiving blessing from a source once thought of to be highly unlikely. This experience has been borne out in my life several times, and it is also reflected in scripture. As a teenager, I resisted making a Christian commitment because, well, I belonged to a more conservative Mennonite tradition where I understood religion to be largely about rules. But as a teenager, I wanted to be free. But to my surprise, when I finally did invite Jesus into my life, I experienced the freedom for which I had been longing all along. 1 Peter 2 speaks of Jesus, the stone that the builders rejected. Even though the so-called builders of the religious community of Jesus' day rejected him, for those who invite him into their lives and seek to follow him, he becomes the chief cornerstone of their lives. And then in my Pennsylvania German heritage, we have a saying that goes something like, "The one who throws it away the farthest will be the first to fetch it back." In my late teens, whenever I would declare to my mother that I doubted if I would ever be married, she would recall this saying. Today, being married to Linda and the family we share is nothing short of a great blessing. So how is it that I name my involvement with Bridge of Hope as an unexpected blessing? Bridge of Hope community, as you may know, was born out of a great travesty of human life. On September 2, 2015, the body of 3-year-old Alan Curdy washed up on a beach of the Mediterranean Sea. Alan and his family were Syrians fleeing the years of war in their homeland. The image of Alan's lifeless body picked up by a soldier flashed across the screens of TVs around the world and touched human hearts. Grace Mennonite Church, like this congregation, has a long history of sponsoring refugees from the boat people of the 1970s, Central American refugees in the 1980s, refugees from the Balkan states in the 1990s. Sponsoring refugees is nothing new for us. For many of us, the motivation lies in the fact that we too were once refugees, welcomed to a new homeland in Canada. Alan Curdy's body was discovered about the same time that Doug Schultz started with us as outreach pastor. Our people came to Doug and said, "We must do something. While we are a congregation with much experience in sponsoring refugees, we are also an aging congregation and we're not sure what we could do." But Doug did go to speak to Moses Moyney, the MCC Ontario Refugee Coordinator. As Doug explained our situation, Moses reported that he had a similar request from a group at the Islamic Society of St. Catharines. They were a younger group of people who wanted to get into sponsoring refugees, but didn't quite know how or where to begin. Moses said, "Why don't you partner with them?" We met for the first time 6 years ago this month. About six people from the mosque met with us from Grace. I recall one young man expressing surprise, deeply moved and humbled, that he was even welcome to come into our building. We spoke of a common desire to reach out to a hurting element of God's family. It progressed steadily from that first meeting until early in the next year, I met with my now good friend, Ezzedine Abdullah, to sign the papers for the first family that we would sponsor. As we sat at the board table in the mosque, I said, "Ezzedine, I have a vision of more things that we could do together to be a blessing in our community." Without prompting, he began to list a number of things that we worked together with our congregations through Mennonite Central Committee. We agreed from that moment on that while we are all children of God through our common ancestor Abraham, we are not of the same religion, but we share many common values. We believe that God is more honored as we reach across our religious differences to be a blessing in our community. Meeting at the point of shared values is what holds us together. To date, Bridge of Hope has welcomed up some 30 people in six families. Our core group has grown to include six or maybe eight by now faith communities, and others join the group simply at the point of shared values. As a community, we raised the funds for the first family. Much of the funding for the other families came from foundations and people like yourselves who formed our partnership and entered and offered their support. Yes, my involvement with the Bridge of Hope has been an unexpected blessing. But why do I say it is an unexpected blessing? When the mosque was being built on Geneva Street in the early 1990s, I was filled with fear and suspicion. What is happening to our world, I wondered. Today, I realize that God has been speaking into my life in these matters through two scripture texts, one that was read this morning and one I will read shortly. It's just now that I've been able to hear what God's been trying to tell me all along. I do recognize that I've been somewhat of a slow learner. But the blessing in all of this is that today, or at least before COVID, I could sit as an observer at the evening prayers in the mosque and know that I am a welcome guest. With tears of regret for my former attitude, I am humbled by the embrace of one I once deemed as totally other to myself. Hence, the unexpected blessing. God came knocking on my door in these matters about 35 years ago. I was reading Genesis 12, 1-3 as part of my morning devotions. It records God's call of Abraham, then still known as Abram, in this way. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Shortly before reading this, I'd heard in the news of the Israeli government's practice of bulldozing Palestinian homes to make room for new Jewish settlements. As I read the words, "I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed," I asked myself, what is blessing about bulldozing someone's home? As I said, I am something of a slow learner, and it was some years later that I was studying this text in greater detail in preparation for a sermon. In broad strokes, the story of the Bible is about God's people called to carry out God's mission on earth. But these people have blown it many times, but God always seems to come back. Jesus is God's most profound response to our failure to understand who God is and what God is calling us to do and be. God's call of a people begins with Abraham. As Christians, along with the Jewish and Islamic people, we see ourselves as descendants of Abraham. It was that realization that sounded the alarm bells when I realized that descendants of Abraham on the Jewish side of the family were bulldozing homes of Palestinian people. How is that a blessing? At the time of Jesus, Jewish people understood that there were two types of people in the world, Jews and those who were not Jews, otherwise known as Gentiles, people like you and I. It was said that a Jewish man began each day by thanking God that he was not born a Gentile or a woman. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 18 of two men, a Pharisee and a tax collector, going to the temple to pray. The Pharisee thanked God that he was not like that hated tax collector and listed all the signs of his faithfulness. The tax collector simply stood and humbly bowed his head, saying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Jews saw Gentiles and Gentile collaborators as totally other, much like I thought of the Islamic people at the time when the mosque on Geneva Street was being built. But as God called Abraham in Genesis 12, God said, "I will bless you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." In my understanding of the word "all," that includes those I might think of as being totally other to myself. I've come to the point of understanding that our call as God's people is simply to be a blessing, and particularly to those that we see as other to ourselves. And it may just be that those others will turn out to be a blessing. This brings me to Ephesians 2. The first part of this passage was not read this morning, but was instrumental in my finally committing my life to Jesus and beginning the journey that has led me to this day. It was a time in my life, 48 years ago, when my life on Sunday morning was very different than it was the other 6.5 days of the week. Why I found myself reading this text is another story, but in the reading the first part, I felt totally exposed for who and what I was. The version I was reading in talked about following the crowd and by virtue of that, being a child of God's wrath like everyone else. Today, I'm so glad that I kept on reading, because the next verse says that it was while I was in my sin that Christ Jesus died for me. This section concludes by saying, "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that is to prepare us for a life of good works for which we were created by God in the first place." Today, I hear the words of Abraham's call in this, "I will bless you, and in you all peoples of the earth will be blessed." The next section speaks of who we are and how God is reaching out to us in another way. Here we see at the beginning the old Jewish way of thinking that we Gentiles are far away from God with no hope of ever being a part of God's family. But Paul's message is that in Christ Jesus we too have been brought near to God. Verses 13 and 14 say that we have been brought near by the blood of Christ on the cross, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between us. The dividing wall, I think, speaks of two things. First is the dividing wall of my sin that has stood between me and God. Jesus broke down that wall, and God reached across it to draw one even like me to serve as a minister of the good news made known in Jesus. Second, already at the time of Paul's writing, there was tension between Christian and Jewish people. It was Paul's conviction that Jesus broke down that dividing wall between these two groups. It is my conviction that God continues to be about the business of breaking down walls that people build to keep them apart from those they name as other. If God can reach across the wall of my sin, then I can reach across a wall that has kept me separate from others. And I'm here to tell you this morning that doing so has been an unexpected blessing in my life. The one I once named as other has in turn become a blessing to me. I indeed have been blessed by the other. Earlier I mentioned my good friend, Ezzedine Abdullah. He and I have recently been working together to do some repairs in one of our family's homes. As we work together, we share our faith traditions and what inspires us to live as those called by God to be a blessing. We mutually agree we like spending time together as we are being blessed by the other. From the very beginning, Bridge of Hope had decided that we would not make a religious distinction as to those we welcomed or those who were assigned to us by MCC. As it has turned out, all the families we have welcomed have been Muslim. This period known as COVID has slowed down or even halted the ability for newcomers to travel to Canada. We hope this will soon change as we are anticipating the arrival of three more families. One family has Iranian roots but has lived in a refugee camp for a long time. They have family here in St. Catharines who are financing their arrival and will look after them once they come here. The other two families are from South Sudan and have been living in a refugee camp of 1 million people in Uganda, again, for many years. The people of South Sudan are largely Christian. The people that are coming to us from there are from the same area where Moses Boyne, the MCC refugee coordinator, has his roots. The money to sponsor the first family has already been raised. The second family is larger, and I believe there are some older members. At the time of writing this sermon, we were still needing approximately $50,000 for that family. Given the current delays in newcomers coming to Canada, we anticipate it could be 2 years before they are able to arrive. But thanks to congregations like yours who are joining in this sponsorship effort, I know that you will be a blessing to those when they finally are able to get here. And who knows, as you get to know them, some of these people might also turn out to be a blessing to you in return. As I conclude this sermon, I try to put myself in the shoes of one sitting in a refugee camp, if one is fortunate to have shoes, a camp of 1 million people. I can hardly imagine. But I know that some of you here, or your parents and grandparents, can not only imagine, but remember. While it may not have been a refugee camp, I do remember how God reached across the wall of my sin to draw me close to him. Just as I am grateful to God, I am grateful to people like yourselves who are also reaching across the wall that separates us from the ones you might think of as other to us or not like us to make a new home for them. Just as we cannot imagine our lives without God's touch and our homes in Canada, there are millions in the world today waiting for the same touch. As we join in welcoming newcomers, may we also experience the blessing of befriending one that we once thought of as totally other to ourselves, simply not like us. May it be so. Amen.
Once again, thank you, David, for coming and sharing with us this morning. And just the sense of the circumstance of a group of us seeing the video of Volendam, a refugee story this past week, reminding us quite vividly of our own journey for most of our families of the church, of being refugees themselves. And so the ministry of sharing in the lives of others in a very tangible way of saving lives continues. And thanks, David, for inviting us to be reminded of that important ministry of reconciliation. Thank you. As Marianne reminded us, please follow the instructions of the ushers as we leave following the benediction. And we will begin at the back, and Vic will guide you as we exit the outside aisles to this side first, this side a little bit later. Please be patient. There are a lot of us here this morning, so it'll take some time for us to keep our distance as we depart. Thank you again for coming and sharing in this service. And as we leave, I send you with these words. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.